Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Wednesday at 7 a.m., we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. Clark, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing really well. Just entering the midweek Mississippi State prep and excited for the game this weekend and happy to be with you guys this morning.
Well, absolutely. We're happy to have you join us this morning, Clark. And obviously, just a gut punch of a loss on Saturday, 21-20 against South Carolina, with South Carolina having the late score there. As you went back and reviewed the film, what stood out to you about your guys in the South Carolina game?
Well, we had to play from behind again early, which, you know, we've got to learn to throw the first punch. You know, we've been kind of the entire year, you know, getting behind two scores and having to battle back. But the positive is we did battle back, and I thought we really took control of that game through the middle of it, built momentum, had some explosive offense, some big stops and turnovers on defense, and played our best you know, game of complementary football, which is something we've been harping on really since the start of the season. You know, and then on both sides, we just weren't able to finish it out. Offensively, had our chance to, you know, we drained their timeouts in the four-minute drive, needed one more first down, and we'd be in victory formation, weren't able to get it. You know, and then defensively, just not able to execute on a 2-minute sequence. Those are learning moments. I mean, it's painful now, but it's also the pain of progress. I mean, it's just, you know, you get in tight games. I think I've got a team now that understands a little better the level of compete, the level of exposing yourself to four quarters and putting it all on the line. And now we know what it feels like when we come up just short in those situations. And you know, the adversity, the pain, you know, it hurts. But you take that and you fuel forward to continue to improve and be better, and that's what we have to do.
Clark, I know it's very easy for people in our position to second guess things that don't work out, coaching decisions late in games. And I know you talked extensively yesterday, in particular, about, you know, dropping eight, rushing three, trying to pack in the zones, and some things that weren't executed well. I guess my question. In that situation, in that general situation, about a minute and a half, no timeouts, is that something that, like, is that how you would always approach it? I mean, how many variables come into play in a situation like that where you say, okay, maybe here and there throw a pressure, try something different? Or is that basically how you look at that situation? That's how you would want to approach it every time?
Well, I'll say this. When you say it's easy for you guys to scrutinize those decisions, I promise you that we scrutinize them more. I you know, for me, yes, in that sequence, what you want to do is create pressure on South Carolina. You want them having to battle two opponents. One opponent is obviously our defense. The other is the clock. And certainly a sack makes it really challenging for them to, you know, to get a drive going. And, you know, we eventually need to be able to win a one-on-one here and create some edge pressure, which happens. You know, it happens in a rush three situation, in those end of games where you're, you know, your edge guys are just teeing off and they win. In fact, in South Carolina's one snap of 2-minute offense, they rushed three and were able to win on the edge. And so it shouldn't be a situation where you're just foregoing pass rush. I mean, the first two snaps of that drive, we rushed four. And again, that's not bringing a blitz or pressuring, but that's, you know, in that situation, a healthy rush. What happened to us in the first snap is they were able to get out of bounds after checking the ball down to the running back. You know, and that's got to be a place where we knife it down in bounds. They threw a check down to a rolled up corner. You know, we got to get it down in the field of play so the clock runs. The second play, they ran an option route that just moved away from our middle linebacker into space, and what should have been tackled again in bounds for 10 to 12 yards, or, you know, when executed at the highest level as a pass defended, was able to find the open space in our zone, and kind of leaked out and became a chunk play. The long and short, the decision then became to, you know, pack the zones to make sure that we're not giving up those plays and spaces. And we just had breakdowns in the zone integrity. I think when you talk about pressuring in 2 minute, what you don't want to do is leave yourself short, is play it too aggressively and give them a chance to get chunks because you're kind of selling out to try to get a sack. You know, they've got to drive 75 yards and get into the end zone. And that in and of itself is a challenge to an offense. But what we can't do, and whether we're rushing four or rushing three, is, you know, we can't have breakdowns in zone integrity and give up those chunks nonetheless. And so, you know, again, I think ideally what you do in that situation is early on, you're forcing them to check the ball down. You're rallying, tackling the ball. You're getting the clock running. They don't have any timeouts. You're putting pressure on their operation. You're speeding them up. I think once they cross midfield, you know, you're going to start looking to tighten up a little bit. To me, that's going to be more rush four or maybe some simulated pressure where you're blitzing a linebacker or a DB, but you're still dropping guys out. So it's still a four-man rush. It just is the simulation of pressure. And then obviously as they get into the red zone or tight red area, that's when you become more aggressive and you're gonna dial up some blitz. And, you know, we just were never able to get in sequence that way because right around when they got the ball to midfield, they hit a chunk play that got them down to the 11. And, you know, at that point, you know, we made the decision to kind of roll the corners up and play a zone, expecting them to run like a man beater mesh concept. And the first snap was successful. The second snap wasn't. And there's a lot of ownership in that. I don't want to, you know, hash it all out. It's like reliving a nightmare. But, you know, for me, we have to coach it better. We have to, you know, it's a situation where our guys learn from the experience and say, like, this is how detailed you have to be in that moment, you know, and a good, you know, a good offense, an aggressive offense, a good quarterback is going to, you know, in that moment, there's nothing for them to lose. So they're going to, you know, they're going to take the chances. They're going to put the ball up in the air and we have to be able to defend it. But certainly you're going to see the transition from maybe a little more conservative early where you're just trying to get the clock running to tighten up around midfield to then become pressure-oriented as it gets into the tighter red zone area.
Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coach, obviously, Ken Seal's not available on Saturday for you guys. What did you make of Mike Wright's performance both in the passing game and the running game, and what's your confidence level in him as you guys transition to Saturday against Mississippi State?
I was proud of Mike. I got to say I was proud of Ken, too. I thought he was such a great support on Saturday for Mike, and he's been just so dialed in our preparation, and that's huge. And I think it's a testament to Ken, and I think it's also a testament to our program where, you know, we're building a team and a team that, you know, your success is my success, and we support and rally around each other. But Mike stepped up and really filled that role with confidence. I was impressed with the way he managed himself, managed situations, had command of the play clock. You know, he was able to create and get explosive plays, and, you know, he was able to evade rush and throw the ball away and, you know, had some effective runs for us, but also was able to strengthen the other guys on the field, found Will Shepard for some chunks, you know, found Cam Johnson on a scramble for a big play. I thought he really did a nice job. And then obviously first start and really the first time he's played in an extended period of time, there's a lot to learn and grow from, but that's the exciting part, right? It's his first real exposure. We were proud of how he handled himself. The moment was not too big for him at all. And now as he gets comfortable, I think you see his performance just continue to climb. And so excited for him moving forward and obviously proud of him for being ready when his number was called.
Does he have a chance to win the job right now, or do you not look at it that way? I mean, obviously it's tough to lose a job when you get hurt, but that does happen sometimes. I mean, how do you view Mike's opportunity here?
Well, I think when you start like projecting forward, I think you lose like kind of the focus in the present. What we need to do is prepare Mike to beat Mississippi State. We need to prepare Mike to strengthen the other 10 players on the field. We need to make sure he's growing his performance. Just like anything, I mean, you can have a step back before you have a step forward. And so our energy and focus right now is on both getting Ken healthy and then obviously supporting Mike and guiding Mike through his journey here as he gets his opportunities to lead the offense. You know, Ken's our starting quarterback when he's 100% healthy. That's been, you know, he earned that job and we want to see him back all the way, but I don't want either of those guys focused on that right now. Ken's got to focus on getting healthy. He's got to take this opportunity to step back and also grow himself, which can happen when you have to step out of the fire a little bit. You know, he's got that supporting role now, but he can learn and really, get some perspective on what he's experienced up to this point. And obviously for Mike, he's got to see it as an opportunity to lead the offense and, you know, be as effective as he can be. And I know he's excited to do that. So we don't do a lot of projecting forward, and those aren't the conversations we're having right now. You know, we want Ken focused on getting healthy. We want Mike focused on doing everything he can to be to put this team in position to win a game on Saturday.
Clark, last thing for you here. What stands out to you about trying to defend a Mike Leach coached offense?
Well, they are well versed in their system, and you know they're going to make it hard on us. It's different, obviously, than what we've played the past couple weekends, where you had a little more traditional, you know, college offense approach. You now dip into this, you know, air raid controlled passing game. He's gonna throw it, you know, 80-90% of the game, and they have a knack for taking the short completions, throwing the ball short and allowing receivers to catch and run, and then opening up with some shots in the passing game too. And to be honest with you, you know, where we've probably struggled the most this year, and obviously this was exposed on Saturday in that 2-minute drive, is coverage, is our ability to play with leverage and to be in the right positions and to defend the ball in the air. And though we've improved drastically since game one, you know, we need to double down on that improvement this week and for our defense to give our offense a chance. I think patience is important this weekend. You know, they're going to be able to get some rhythm. They're going to be able to find soft spots in zone coverage. We got to be able to mix it up, but we have to be able to stay patient in drives that extend and play well as the ball crosses midfield. You know, look for opportunities to be disruptive. The good thing is when the ball goes in the air, you have a chance to knock it down at the line of scrimmage. You have a chance to defend it, obviously, at the catch point. There are a lot of things that can go on that can be good for the defense. It's just a matter of keeping a perspective that it only takes one snap to get them off schedule. You know, if they're having success moving the ball, we have to keep it inside and in front of us and force them to drive the length of the field. When we've done that this year, we've been effective as a defense. When we've given it up in chunks, obviously, we've struggled, and as a result, you know, we've lost that sense of complementary football where, you know, the team then has struggled. So that'll be the focus for us this weekend.
Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Coach, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck coming up on Saturday.
Hey, appreciate it. Great to be with you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Clark Lee had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie, Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. I think an opportunity for Vanderbilt coming up this weekend against Mississippi State. You never quite know what you're going to get out of Mike Leach and that Mississippi State program. You know, obviously you heard Clark Lee talk about the air raid offense there. An opportunity, if you can find a way to cover and force a couple of turnovers, maybe for Vanderbilt to hang around in this game and maybe have a chance to win at the end because, I mean, let's be honest here. Look at the rest of the schedule. There's not many of those left on the schedule for Vanderbilt.
Right. You've got, so basically you've got what? You've got Missouri.
Yep.
Also as a possibility. But this would be, you know, South Carolina, Missouri would be your best two bets. This one, I don't know. They've been better for sure. You know, last year you think about that win at LSU. It was like, oh, Mike Leach. And then it was not good. For a lot of the year, they got totally hosed at Memphis this year. By the way, great officiating crew.
Oh, yeah.
As we saw again Saturday night in Knoxville.
Oh, yeah.
Lost a tough one to LSU. I mean, beat Texas A&M. I mean, again, it's just
amazing.
It's just amazing. Remember, 18 to 22-year-old, basically kids, and then predictable, you know, 49-9 to Bama last week. But they're better. I don't think this is going to be easy. And I think the, you know, the Vanderbilt – issue is, you know, defensive talent, I think, is probably the biggest thing, really. They've got some good skill talent on offense, and they've got a few guys on defense, but it's just tough in this league. And you're going to have a great plan and great execution. You know, on the last conversation, I appreciate Clark Lee really goes in depth on specifics of that defensive drive, and it is very easy to second guess and say, you know, what are you doing? The three who were rushing late in that drive, like there was no impact. That's the, because he's right. Sometimes you can do that. And if you get someone who actually, you know, beats a double team, beats their blocker, and gives you an effect, great. It's great to have another you know, body in coverage.
Sure.
But they're just, those guys weren't. And so that quarterback had on a few of those snaps. He just knew he had the cleanest pocket you could ever ask for, and you're going to find a hole in the zone if you have that. And he did. But, you know, it's too bad. I felt bad, too, when he said, you know, it's like I'm reliving a nightmare right now as he went through the whole thing. Like, sorry for bringing it up again, man. But that was a tough one. That was right there for him. Maybe Missouri, but maybe this week. I do think that offensively Vanderbilt can have success in this game.
Mississippi State, a 20.5-point favorite right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Mississippi State favored by 20.5. By the way, Alabama favored by 24.5 against Tennessee going up this weekend. So the local teams not being given much of a chance this weekend.
Yeah, 20-plus point underdogs. Yeah, that's interesting. I guess that's about right on the Bama-Tennessee line.
I would say so. Now,
not terribly surprising.
I will say, I guess, and we didn't talk about this yesterday because we were pretty much all Titans yesterday, but I guess some good news on Hendon Hooker on Monday from Josh Heupel. I mean,
he's not
he didn't go super in-depth detail with it, but it does sound like he's not done for the year, which honestly I thought there was a chance he might be when he got up the other night.
Like it's not like an ACL or something.
Right. So, you know, I don't know that means Hendon Hooker is going to play Saturday. I guess I'd probably still be surprised if he does play on Saturday against Alabama. Honestly, if there's any question about it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to play him on Saturday against Alabama. Get him ready for Kentucky. You got a bye week after this week. Yes, a bye week, not an open week after this week. And then you play Kentucky the week after.
It's an idle week. We have to do this again.
We do. We're just going to bring everything back out today.
Michelle
has no clue what you're talking about.
All right.
Come on, Joe. Come on.
All right. So a bye is, and I understand that because people have been sloppy and done this, some online dictionary says it's okay. A bye is what you have in a tournament.
Some online dictionary. Merriam-Webster.
Nah, they're a fraud. They thought there was 53% Bills fans in the stadium.
Okay.
Saturday. So a bye is something you have in a tournament, right? Like you have a bracket and like, oh, I got a bye to the second round. So when you have an off week in football, it's not a bye. It's not a tournament. It's not a bye. It's you're off. Or you have an idle week, an off week, those are fine. A bye week makes no sense. It's not a tournament. It's not a bracket. You don't advance to the next round. A bye means you advance to the next round.
This is a big argument we had on the program, and pretty much everybody on the text line will say Rex was wrong, and I'm looking forward to it. 615-737-1025.
Help me out.
Society has definitely, taken by.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Let's let society go to hell. That's great. Let's just all,
grammar lesson.
Yeah. People walk around half naked, living together, whatever.
Yes.
Swearing on TV.
All these things may have happened.
Yeah. I think we need to have some standards.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm drawing the line right there in society. Bye.
Screw you, Merriam-Webster, in your dictionary.
Is that what it was? It was Merriam-Webster?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm never going there again.
Okay.
So anyway, why were we even talking about the idle weeks?
Because Tennessee has one after Alabama.
Yes.
Idle week.
Yes.
Yeah.
See? It's really not that hard to say. It's fine. Yeah, I agree. Let Joe Milton, here you go. You got another opportunity. You got the greatest program in college football on the road at night. Go get them. Let's get ready this week. We know you have the ability to make plays. Go out and shut everybody up. And then Hendon Hooker, heal up, and then we have a chance to actually go win at Kentucky on November 6th.
How do you think what do you think Nick Saban's game plan is defensively if Joe Milton's a quarterback? Just total press coverage the whole time and not be afraid to get beat deep?
Yeah, just like no safeties.
Yeah.
Just go.
What you need them for?
Cover zero the entire game. Just play man, press man, and take away everything short and say, go ahead.
Gets to a Hail Mary situation at the end of the first half and Milton.
Well, that's where you.
6 yard scramble.
Well, if Tennessee's at its own 8 with 3 seconds left in the first half, that's where you worry.
Well, yeah, he'd have to throw it, though.
Right, but he'll make the end zone from there.
Well, if he throws it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. It's possible. He could do a
just take off running.
Yeah, 92-yard TD run. Hail Mary Joe Milton run.
Just go for it. Why not?
Ah, poor Joe. But, man, have I showed you my video I took of that?
Yeah. He almost got hit by Milton on that play.
He almost ran into me as he ran out of bounds, and I'm sitting there taking this video I might have video of this iconic play in Tennessee football history, and then he almost – runs me over. I'm like, what? Why did
Wait,
he do that?
You still have the ball? Joe,
why
are you
doing? Did you do that?
It's a Joe thing.
But he did. Yeah. Joe overthrow almost overthrew Joe on the sideline.
Yeah, maybe so. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday, the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Las Vegas Raiders. Kickoff set for 3:05 on ESPN 94.9. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Predators getting their first win of the season last night in Victor Arvidsson's return to Bridgestone Arena. Cool night last night at Bridgestone Arena. Basketball season is back, and there's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel Sportsbook. To celebrate NBA tip-off, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers enhanced odds. That's right, get 75-1 odds on any team to win on October 19th or 20th, which is today, October the 20th. The Memphis Grizzlies in action tonight. Ja Morant and company looking to get it done. Maybe that's an option you could go with it, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting on the NBA with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's easy to use. They've got great odds boost and specials, live betting on every game. So if you see a game where you like the way things are going, you can bet right then and there. A great option for you on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB to get 75-1 odds on any team to win October 19th or 20th. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Make every moment matter more this NBA season. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wagering designated offer market. A max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That was Predators forward Matt Duchene after the game last night. A 2-1 win for the Nashville Predators against the LA Kings. Speaking of Matt Duchene, he will join us later today at 9 o'clock here on the show for our Inside the Locker Room segment coming up at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to talking with Matt Duchesne. And I guess looking forward to talking to Adam Vinion, too, at 9:30. Don't want to leave him left out.
He got to break out the Simpsons gif. Oh, my God, the Predators score a power play goal.
Yeah.
Feels like old times.
It does feel
with
like
Matt with a Matt Duchesne power play goal.
Matt Duchesne power play goal. They're down 1-0 in the game last night, heading into the third period. Anze Kopitar of the Kings, who apparently thinks it's 2012 again because he's got 5 goals in like 3 games. So congratulations to him, I guess. But he scores the goal last night for the Kings. They're up 1-0.
That was a blast.
And then Matt Duchesne ties it up on the power play, a scramble in front of the net. He gets to the loose puck, scores the goal, and then like 2 minutes later, Tanner Janot finds the back of the net. It's 2-1. The Kings had their chances at the end of the game, but Saros with some big saves, some big-time defensive plays with some clears out of the zone, and the Predators escape with a 2-1 win, their first win of the year.
Yeah, and Forsberg had some great chances, including, you know, a penalty shot and doesn't hook me up with a goal.
Nah.
But he looked dangerous, and I thought that line had some good stretches last night. Going to be a much scrutinized line because they're going to need those guys to produce for them to win. So it was a power play goal, but still, Matt Duchesne getting on the board, Johansson the night before, maybe we're seeing some signs of life.
Interesting lineup decisions once again last night. Rocco Grimaldi still in there. They brought up Tommy Novak yesterday. He makes his NHL debut last night. And Philip Tomasino, nowhere to be found after the first game of the season.
Youth movement.
Yeah, I mean, Novak, I guess, is youth movement, but
that's true. Also young.
He's young. I just, you know, is Philip Tomasino just going to be a healthy scratch as they move forward here?
I don't know. I mean, it's one game.
It's 2 games in a row now.
That's right. That's right. It's 2 games in a row, and Glass has been sent up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's down, but it's hard for me to say sent down to Milwaukee.
just geographically speaking.
Yeah, just the geography. There's another just like, you know, we need to not say bye week. You know, we should look at
you're getting a little bit more
direction.
Support on the text line as well.
I am getting some support. Yeah, thank you. Is it Caleb
yeah.
on the text line? Thank you, Caleb.
Jeremiah on the text line gave you some support.
You guys are great.
That's more than happened last time.
Well, look, Caleb, look, this is what Caleb says, you know, and I he said, you know, words that are not used properly annoys me. And then he's like, words like sciatica. Yeah, thanks, Caleb. All right, Caleb gets a shot in at me. But still, is it Jeremiah or Jerry from Spring or Jeff from Spring Hill? 100% Team Rex Road in the Idle versus Bye debate. He's exactly right. I'm glad someone is championing correct English. Thank you, Jeff from Spring Hill, for crying out loud. But, okay, fine. We can say he sent Cody Glass down, I guess. I'll back away on that one. But it is weird. Like, it's fast.
Yeah.
And we can't be accused of overreacting if, you know, if the lineup is changing this rapidly.
I know.
Right? Like, in a couple games.
Well, I told you on Monday, not been very impressed by Philip Meyer so far. It's not gone well, in my opinion, the first couple of games. He's not in there last night. Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning finally gets in. I've said it. I think Matt Benning is one of their 6 best defensemen. And he gets in there last night for the first time. So we'll see what happens on that moving forward. I mean, look, it's early. I think it is also important to kind of get all of your guys into the mix early, too. So I figured Benning would get in there at some point coming up. But, you know, with Tomasino, I mean, to me, you're either going to play him or you need to send him down to Milwaukee, one of the two. Like, him being a healthy scratch doesn't really serve you much purpose.
So what's interesting with, like, you know, with, like, Glass and Tomasino – so they earned their way on, you know, well, I mean, especially in Tomasino's case, earned his way onto the roster and yep. in the lineup early. So is it, you know, is it like then they're just not, you know, just not competing at the compete level desired to stay in the lineup? Or is it just, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like if you earn your way into it, what did you do to do that? And then what that you did to do that, are you now not doing? Is it just because now it's real games and it's real guys and it just looks different and you're seeing maybe some gaps in the games that you just can't see in preseason?
Well, look, I mean, I don't think anybody was blown away by Cody Glass or Philip Tomasino in the first game against Seattle. I mean, I think that's pretty fair to say. They didn't play a whole lot and
but they didn't
do a lot.
How many people on this line in the forward lineup are blowing anybody away so far?
Nobody.
Right.
That's why and especially that game. Like the Predators were bad in that game against Seattle. Like everybody's going to point to the third period and, you know, they made this push back and that's all great. They were not good in that game against Seattle. Now, they were much better against Carolina. They were okay last night in the way that they played. But
really good third period last
night. Yeah, really good third period. But, you know, they've not played really a complete game yet. And I understand it's hockey. The complete game stuff is really difficult to do in hockey.
You just have to be way better than your opponent probably.
And that just typically doesn't really happen in the NHL. So, but my thing is, like, to me, if I'm Cody Glass or I'm Philip Tomasino, like, my response is, all right, you're going to give me one game? Like, give me a little bit of time here to get my feet wet and see what you actually have. You know, and Philip Tomasino could be back in the lineup tomorrow. I don't know. But to me, like, you either need to put him in and let him play and live with the mistakes that he is going to make, because he is going to make some mistakes at his age, or send him down to Milwaukee and let him play with Cody Glass and let him play 22 minutes a night. Like, those to me are your two options. Like, the healthy scratch stuff, you know, the one game is whatever. I thought for sure he'd be back in there yesterday, and he's not. So,
yeah. But, well, like you said, I mean, if it's going to be more this than active, then why not just go to Milwaukee then?
Yeah.
Sent down and travel up to Milwaukee.
Well, eventually, if it is like this, they will send him to Milwaukee. Like, they're not just going to have him sit there.
Yeah.
I mean, it does nobody any good. I would like to see him back in there tomorrow. Just see what he brings to the table. Look, you could try him at center. With Cody Glass not there, you know, he is a natural center. He can play both on the wing and at center, but I wouldn't mind seeing what he looks like down the middle and seeing if that brings anything to the table in terms of playmaking. Now, I mean, the other part of this is, you know, if he's going to play tomorrow, he's probably going to be on the fourth line with Grimaldi and Cousins. I mean, how much is going to happen
there?
That's
officially the fourth line now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It still feels wrong.
I know.
But it is.
Yeah. Numerically, that's the way they're lining up, baby.
And offensive juggernaut goal. Tanner Jeannot.
Man, good, great guy. Play by Sissons last night.
That was.
Yeah.
And Jeannot is he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he got the puck in the middle of the ice last night, and Drew Doughty came in for a hit. That did not end well for Drew Doughty. Found himself on his back on the ice. And I was like, yeah, I think Tanner Jeannot might do that to a lot of people this year. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, and there's, you know, got a goal. He's on pace for, you know, what's one every three games? I don't know. Do the math.
Yeah.
20-some?
Yeah. High 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I just, it feels fast, and I think that's a great idea. Tomasino down the middle. I mean, I'm frankly a little surprised that Rocco's getting the opportunity, but they need speed. You know, they need someone to just make something happen. I mean, look, you do watch Arvidsson last night, and I know, look, we talked about before he got traded, boy, it might be time to move on from him because he's been hurt and all that, but he was dangerous when he was right. And, hopefully he's able to stay healthy. I thought he looked pretty good last night.
I thought he did, too. I have zero confidence that he's going to stay healthy. Like, it is what it is at this point. I mean, the way he plays the game, he just gets hurt.
And people go after him.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I do believe the NHL has transitioned to a point where, you know, being the biggest guy out there doesn't mean what it used to mean. Like, you can be a small player in the NHL and still be really successful. Like, you know, Nikita Kucherov, not a very big guy. But Nikita Kucherov also is hurt once again. And here we are two seasons in a row where he's hurt. Now, he'll probably come back February this year and be ready to cook those things up before the playoffs get in there. But it's just one of those things where, you know, size does matter a little bit in terms of if you're constantly taking punishment and you're constantly getting hit, eventually those smaller guys are going to wear down because of that. You know, and you could throw Ryan Ellison in that conversation, Victor Arvidsson, and I think it's been pretty clear the Predators have tried to get bigger. What's that going to translate into in terms of the bottom line of the win-loss record? I don't know. It's been...
But Rocco's still around, you know.
He's still in there.
Fighting for the little guy.
That's right. Still in there.
He can. I mean, he's got some speed. He's got some ability. There's no question. It's, you know, they need to be more dangerous. Granlund looks really good, by the way.
He does.
Just consistently.
Yeah.
How important is Mikhail Granlund to this team.
Yeah, he looks really good so far. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. You can learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. When we come back, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair today. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different topics both in sports and in the real world, and then we yell at each other on how we would respond to said topics. Michelle Knezovic in the questions chair this week. Michelle, I turn things over to you.
So, fellas, we starting with sports or non-sports?
Let's go sports.
Let's go sports. Okay. In honor of Ben Simmons being a little crybaby, sports
it's been really fun.
Have quite the business aspect to them.
They do.
So, if you were a professional athlete and unhappy in your situation, would you pull a Ben Simmons of just getting fined all this money and just not saying anything, getting thrown out of practice? Or would you pull an Aaron Rodgers and just go out to the media and just essentially say everything that's on your mind and bothering you?
Oh, I think we know where I'm going here. We're going Aaron Rodgers. That was the greatest press conference I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm all about honesty. And if it got to the point where I was that fed up with something, both in the case of Ben Simmons or in the case of Aaron Rodgers, I think the better way to handle it is just lay your cards on the table, let everybody know where you are. And number one, not that this matters at the end of the day all that much. I think that's also a pretty good way to win over public opinion. And Ben Simmons is not winning that battle right now. So give me the Aaron Rodgers route.
100%. I mean, now every situation is different, of course. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers had legit beef. I mean, Ben Simmons, I don't like how everything's been handled on, you know, on the Sixers side. But, I mean, that really comes down to performance, right? It comes down to
being able to shoot a basketball?
Yeah, like, I mean, Rodgers is – so it's a different situation, but I love the idea of if someone is incompetent and is not doing their job correctly, go out and lay it all out for everybody. It doesn't happen very often, but I'm a big fan of
it. Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Okay, maybe this wasn't a good one because we're all in the media and we like to say our opinions on air, but I think I would go a similar route, but could you guys imagine, like, practicing even if you just – we're just hating everyone, you know?
So you're saying a similar route than Rodgers?
I'm saying say, I would go press conference. I would say something. I would speak my mind, but.
If I was as good as Aaron Rodgers, I'd say whatever I want. What are you going to say to me? Right?
Yeah.
What are you going to say back?
Well, that's the thing. Like, if, well, yeah, and I mean, like, I mean, I think he probably has, like, a lot of the people that he's practicing with on his side, right?
Yeah. I know for I mean, I know if you're one the, for sure he has that, on his side.
I mean, the difference is that he's the best player, so those guys have to have him to win. And with Simmons, it's like,
he's not.
You're killing me, man. Hit a 10-footer ever in your life, you know?
He's killing me. Okay, non-sports. You are on an island. You are a castaway. You can bring two items, and you have to bring one family member. Which family member is helping you survive?
Which family member is helping me survive?
And two items.
I go with my dad. He's pretty handy, so we could probably construct something together to try and get off the island. I would bring a hammer and some lighter fluid because I don't feel like sitting there rubbing sticks together to start a fire. So give me some lighter fluid. That's what I would bring.
What's the hammer for, Rob?
Yeah, you know, you can always find something with a hammer.
So okay, so I have this right. So you're saying on the island, and you have to have this person and these two things to survive.
Survive slash like
thrive,
or like that you're going to live there, and so you have to pick
survive
a
slash get help, get somebody to save you guys.
Flare gun? Maybe I should have had a flare gun.
It's okay, Rob. Can't go back. Can't go back now, Robbie.
I'll use a hammer.
Gosh. See, I mean, now we're getting to like if my dad were still alive, I would take him because he was very handy.
Oh yeah,
actually, I think I might go the same route as you and go with my father-in-law. I think I'm going to take Katie's dad because he's also very handy, and he and my dad used to always make fun. Like, how did this happen with this dude? Like, he can't change a light bulb.
Yeah.
So, I think I'd take him, and I guess
take the flare gun.
Flare gun's good. I mean, I want to come up with my own idea, but I do like a flare gun.
What's not mine? I said hammer.
Yeah. A flare gun, and I'm trying to think, like, this is a tough one. I don't know. A flare, what would save us?
I would just write a big SOS on the beach. Can the item be a
boat? Can the item be a boat?
No.
No?
You have to be able to hold the item. How about that?
I would take a helicopter.
Yeah.
Just fly on out of there.
A yacht.
A helicopter and choice. Fuel would be my two items.
Okay, flare gun for sure, and another flare gun.
Just in case you misfire the first time.
We're going to die.
Get a coconut.
Okay, Joe's got a flare gun and a coconut.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to go a different route with the family member. My youngest sister.
Okay.
Christina. She's 16. Very outdoorsy. She would be able to, you know, if there were animals or any of that, very good in those situations. Me, not so much. Not a camper, not a good outdoorsier person. So definitely her. And she would make me laugh, so that would be good.
There you go.
Next one, some sort of siren. Siren, I could just, like, pull a siren and make some noise. And then I feel like a pizza.
Just make sure you got some carved up.
Because I would be really hangry and I'd be stressed.
Yeah.
So I think a pizza. That would
carve it up a little bit.
That would just help the mental state.
Well, yeah. I mean, I want food too. I guess I thought maybe.
I'd take a burrito and a bologna sandwich.
Okay. Next one, sports. If you could bring back any vintage jersey, any sport, what jersey would it be?
Oh, this one's pretty quick for me. Anaheim Mighty Ducks jersey. Bring it back. The Ducks jersey that they wear now.
They were sick.
I mean, it's awful what they put on their bodies now. Bring the Mighty Ducks jerseys from the 90s back. Arizona has already wised up a little bit, and they brought back the Kachina stuff, which looks great, even though they're awful. By the way, Carter Hutton on pace to give about 1 million goals this year. It's not going well.
That's tough.
Mine would be the Mighty Ducks jerseys from the 90s. Bring them back. Never should have got rid of them.
That's a good one. I'm trying to think of teams. I'm obviously not thinking of like a team that had a great jersey that doesn't anymore.
Do you want me to go next?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going Toronto Raptors.
Oh yeah.
The stripes with the big dinosaur on it.
Yeah.
Vince Carter.
Loved those. Vince Carter. I love the purple and the red. They're so out there, but that's probably my favorite jersey ever.
See, if this were like the late 90s, early 2000s, I'd say Pistons. Take the stupid teal jerseys away and go back. But they are
were awful.
Those were awful. But
they heard you, Joe.
Yeah. Yes. I feel heard.
Thank I mean, the 90s Jazz jerseys, pretty sweet. I'd like to see them bring those back. They have a version of them they wear now, but the throwback 90s Jazz jerseys are pretty sick.
Okay, I've got one now. They kind of have gone back at times a little bit, but I would definitely do like the 70s, 80s Astros unis.
Yeah.
Those are like so just like you are in the 1970s, you know, or you're in 1982, you know, breakdancing when you see the Houston Astros. But then they sort of brought them back. But yeah, that I would say that would be their full time jersey. There you go.
I can feel the 80s, Joe. That's right. Can feel it. I can envision it.
It usually goes back to that. Yeah.
And another one where we're going to go back a little bit. Last one. If you could bring back one show that isn't aired anymore, they don't create it anymore, what TV show would it be?
One show that's not on the air anymore, what would it be?
So bring it back and it is currently being made again.
Yeah. But same like storyline. Like people pretend the people didn't get old or anything.
Mine is 24. Mm. Little Kiefer Sutherland. Love me some Jack Bauer. I would go 24. Still this day, maybe my favorite show ever. I enjoy it.
I would definitely quickly go to this and it's a 100%. And you don't have to worry about like kids getting older or whatever, it's Seinfeld, 100%. But Seinfeld with Larry David. The last couple seasons, Larry David left. It fell off. It was still great with Jerry doing it. But with that crew of people together, and frankly, I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm hopefully never ends. But, yeah, definitely Seinfeld. They could go on forever and ever to me. and it would be just as funny if they had Larry David involved.
Those are good ones. Okay, I'm going Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Love that one. I used to watch that all the time. Yeah, in West Philadelphia, born and raised.
That's a great show. Yeah, we actually, that was one that we had the kids, we got the kids into that one. Not that long ago. Yeah, yeah. Gotta love Carlton.
Joey from Gallatin says, you bring an axe with you to the island. Where you can cut wood and hammer stuff at the same time.
That's a good
also
idea.
A warm sleeping bag.
Well, and you.
Oh, a sleeping bag. That was good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, and plus you could kill animals that might try to kill you. You probably wouldn't work out, but
maybe not. I mean, depends on your speed. See what you can do.
Joe running with an axe.
that couldn't end poorly at all. Brian in Portland texting into the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I would take Joe Rexrow to the island, and my two items would be a radio or the all-time albums of Blink 182 and Creed.
Mm, well, then you'd have me losing it.
The receiving end of the axe.
Yeah. Well, I guess that guy's Joe's long-lost family member. That's right. Then.
Jack Nicholson and The Shining coming at you, buddy.
I got a text that says you guys would be totally dead within a day on the island. Maybe so.
Probably true.
I get a couple days.
I like these as hypotheticals. You know? Yeah.
Let's pretend we can do it.
Sean voting for the Seattle Supersonics jersey.
Oh, those are good.
Those are good stuff.
That's a good call. Yeah, that's a very good call. Those were awesome.
Bring that and the franchise back.
Caleb says, just take Derrick Henry. He will carry you off the island. There could be something to that. Derrick Henry just physically removing you from the island.
Do like the Roadrunner thing on the water and just, you know, walk on water.
We'll see you. Yeah, absolutely.
He probably could do it.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Paul Kaharsky from Outkick 360 and PaulKaharsky.com. Get his thoughts on the Titans and the Bills and the Titans as they look ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs coming up on Sunday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.